So cool, right?
I'd like to have the entire Young Lives team come on up. We're going to have just two of them speak, but if you have been around, you know that they went on a week-long trip down to Arizona, and it was part missions trip, part camp experience, as you kind of saw in the video. They cared for babies, super cute babies. Is there not a cute baby? I don't know. Super cute babies, while their teen moms could go through the Young Life camp experience and encounter camp for themselves and learn about Jesus. So super fun. So this team went, and we're going to have, so this is Jasso, Malia, Sammy, Michelle, Jasmine, and Natalia. And these two are going to just share a little bit of their experience, because many of you are praying, and it's just important to follow up. So who would like to go first? Malia. All right. The recent college graduate's going to go first. Nice.
Okay. So I was thinking this morning of how to explain this trip, and I don't think I could fully explain it, which is a shameless plug to come next year. So, but I went on the trip, and I was just like, this is going to be great. I'm so excited. I went last year. I know what to expect. Mind was blown all over again. Cried more this year than I did last year. In a good way, in an amazing way.
Good to clarify.
Nice. Yeah, just to clarify. No sadness. It was just such a cool thing to be a part of, where the mom started anxious and concerned, but you get to see them be more comfortable and smile more and have more fun throughout the week. The joy and relief on their face when their babies were sleeping and safe and they could go to the pool for a little more minutes by themselves.
Right.
When the mom...
That's every mom, by the way. Yeah.
When the mom... when we found out the kid hasn't been picked up yet because the mom was having an emotional conversation with her mentor that was lasting longer than we thought, it made all the screaming and the crying and the mess all worth it. So it was just... It's tiring, and childcare is so much work, but it was a privilege and honor to literally witness the kingdom of God grow that week and also get filled. Like you saw, I went on a zip line this week, which was so much fun.
Yes, you did.
And we got filled in the mornings as childcare. We had volunteers pour into us, so I got to grow in my faith as well. So it's just a mind-blowing, overwhelming emotional joy to be to learn about the Lord and to show these moms more about the Lord. So.
All right, thank you. Now, Sammy was one of two men who went on the trip, Sammy and Justice, as you see in the picture. So we'd like to hear from the men in the room.
Yes.
Justice is in Canada, right?
In just Canada, now, so. Very much in Canada. Yeah, I agree with everything that Malia said. It was an absolutely amazing experience. I had a crazy, crazy June, so I went into it really tired. And for me, it was a really humbling experience. Of we got there the first night, and we drove there. So it was like a 10, 11-hour drive. We got there the first night, and I was like, oh, my gosh, God, I got nothing. Like, it's got to be you. And so the speaker that day had a just great illustration of just pouring out of the overflow of God's love, because we can't pour from an empty cup. And I think, for me, that was a good model of saying, because I think I'm really comfortable or good at pouring out of an empty cup. And just being like, ah, I don't want to do that. I want to pour through you in me. And so this time I was like, God, I got nothing. It's got to be you. And so it was really humbling to see that and to do that, of really exhausting, really beautiful, emotionally just filled, beautiful work of just loving kids, being with them, playing with them. And so it was amazing. And I felt so encouraged and energized just from this group, that everyone here was amazing, hanging out with Justice, seeing him go on the water slide 80 times, the drive out, just conversations with everyone. I got to go on a run with Natalia, just the whole group. It was beautiful just seeing everyone come together and just love these kids, all the community. And we're one tiny fraction of everyone that came to volunteer for childcare, the people that are on summer staff helping out there, the different mentors that are constantly in the lives of these women. It was beautiful to see just people coming together, really loving God and loving each other, very tangibly, very real. So it was amazing, transformational, I think, experience of just seeing God's love in action and just being able to do it with amazing people is all you can ask for. So it was amazing.
So just to clarify, Justice went down the slide 80
at least
80 times
throughout the course of the week.
Nice. Sounds
like I was fun. A little disappointed. The video we got of him, he stopped kind of soon, where he mastered the slide, where he'd skid across the water like halfway across
nice.
The pool. So
I love it. Thank you. And can we give it up for Malia, who put this video together? Well done. And for this team. Yeah, thank you. We're good. Thanks, you guys. So what's really cool, you guys can go be seated. But what's really cool is this is the second time that Jocelyn, Malia, Natalia, and Jasmine have done this. Jasmine's done it 3 times. And the Young Lives Camp would like for Celebration to participate every year. And so there might be opportunities in the future where it's both a missions trip and a camp-like experience for those who go. So it's kids 13 and up who can apply. And so I think my daughter and I are hoping to go next year. So powerful, powerful, powerful stuff. So thanks, you guys. And thank you for praying for our team. Well, you guys may know this, but I love words, and I love looking up definitions of words. And so I looked up the word distraction in the Oxford English Dictionary, and it is described as a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. A thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. Now, distractions can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on the circumstance, depending on the person. So I'd like for us to engage in, or just to think about for a moment, distractions. Now, I believe in your bulletin, in your handout, you have a post-it note. Does everybody have one? Yes. If you need one, raise your hand and we can distribute them. So there's one up here, Diedrich, Joe. And I'd like for you just to write down what are some of your distractions. And Malia needs one. Malia and Jasso both need one. And then, Michael needs one. So several over here. So write down, just for a minute, we're going to take just a moment to write down what are some of your distractions, things that get you off track. It could be a person, could be a thing, could be a TV show, right? But what are some distractions that you may have? Write it on the post-it note, don't sign your name. And then after you write down one or two things, come and put it up here on this slip chart on this side, and we're going to read them all out and see who has the worst distraction. No, I'm kidding. No, we're not going to do that, but we're going to see how common our distractions are for all of us. So if you could just play music for like a minute, Alex, and when the music stops, we're going to stop. But between now and then, come and write on a post-it note, what are some distractions that you may have, and then come and put it up on this flip chart. All right. Come up and put your post-its on the pad. Apparently, you guys have a lot of distractions, is what this demonstrates. All right, this is so good. You keep coming and coming. Wes is putting my name on the post-it note, which I personally think is rude and very distracting right now. So. All right. Well done. So there's a lot here. I'm going to go through them relatively quickly, but let's see, as I'm reading them, see if you can find or identify or hear any common distractions. Finances and worry. Worrying about finances. The world we live in. Let's see, social media, physical symptoms, news cycle, overwork, TikTok. I think you guys are going to be stressed by the time I finish this list. Anything when I start praying. Oh, and the plumbing was another one. Phone, grandkids, family, political environment, heat. Can I get an amen to the heat? So hot. I moved here from Florida for a reason, right? All right, house selling, cleaning. This one says phone, apps, friends. The New York Times spelling bee. It's very specific. I like that one. Social media, my phone, TV shows, movies, overthinking, a to-do list, my dog chewing on things, Facebook Marketplace, TV, troubled friends, housework, too much sleeping, food, especially sweets, distractions like clutter, fatigue, feeling overwhelmed, watching the Colorado Rockies, both a distraction and huge waste of emotional investment. Getting a little personal now. All right, work, social life, just life. Just life is a distraction. Let's see, thoughts, fears, worries, social media, the phone, anxiety, cleaning my house is a distraction, text messages, noises, past stories, kids, finances, environment, to-dos. Are we seeing some patterns here? Your cell phone, noise, other people talking, my mind wandering. Phone, things that need to get done. Have you ever found that there's so many things that need to get done when you should be doing something else? Nice. See if you can guess who this is. My gorgeous husband, ice cream, miles. Kids need to eat all the time. Social media, phone. Any guesses on who that is? Right over here. All right, games on the computer. I love that. My gorgeous husband distracts me too, so I get it. It's an issue. Thoughts of what I should be doing distract me from being in the present. Phone notifications. Am I right? Okay, social media, being too busy, cell phone, planning the next meal, pain is a distraction. Person, kids, pressure, desire, worry, social media, my phone, social media, work, compassion is a distraction. Social media, phone, weeds, it's true. Hunger, questions of, I wonder. Let's see, just a few more here. Focusing on the bad things, phone, social media, comparing yourselves to other people, finances, phone, cat, social media, drawing, phone, sports, the next thing, making food, roommates, car repairs, all the things that need to be done, and there's a few more, my phone, reading a book, isn't that a good distraction? Cleaning. So, so good. Give yourselves a hand. Those are some good answers. What are some themes? What were some themes that you heard? Phone. Yeah. What else? Cleaning. Yes. What was else? Social media. What else? Spelling bee. That wasn't a common theme. It was apparently one person, but I love that. Sometimes gorgeous spouses. It's tough. I like that Mike is a little, are you embarrassed at all, Mike? any, what else did we hear? What other? To-do lists, pain? Yeah. I think the common thing that we see through all of it is that there is an abundance of things that distract us. Can we agree with that? The things that distract us may be different. The things that divert our attention to maybe what we feel like we should be paying attention to or want to pay attention to, we're distracted, we're divided. There's another word, perhaps, for distraction, a word that I think is a synonym for distraction, and that's multitasking. Here in the U.S., the ability to perform multiple tasks, especially at work, is seen as a virtue. That's like a must-have quality and an employee that an employer is looking for. But a recent study in the Journal of Experimental Psychology, which I read on my spare time, I don't know about you, but the Journal of Experimental Psychology reveals the opposite. The authors of this journal story found that that multitasking is actually less efficient, especially with more complicated tasks, because it takes extra time to shift mental gears every time a person switches between tasks. Any parent could probably tell you that multitasking makes you less efficient. But it does. And I think multitasking, while hailed as a great thing, can just as easily be a distraction, right? My husband gets notifications, and my husband is very present, but he gets notifications on his watch, on his phone, on his computer. So at any given time, there's notifications or texts or emails or things that are popping up for him. Under the guise of multitasking, that's just very distracting. And it has been said that the faster we go, the less we become. The faster we go, the less we become. So this morning and through the month of July, we're going to explore how to pay attention, how to resist distraction, how to pay attention to what God is doing right in front of us and all around us. To recognize what easily distracts us, because it's sometimes it's easy to recognize, right? Phone is a common one. It's mine too. If I would have put one up, it'd be my phone. But part of our journey over this month is to recognize the things that distract us, some things that we're aware of and a lot of times that we're not. And then to engage in practices that help us detach from these distractions, to slow down and pay attention. We're calling it the summer slowdown, an invitation to true rest and community. And I've mentioned this the last couple of weeks, but we're going to be joining with churches and people all over the country with an organization called Practicing the Way. They put this out. It's a free summer slowdown guide. So we're going to be using this as our framework. And there's copies in the back if you don't have one. We will be emailing this each week, this whole packet to you each week, so you can access it there if you prefer a digital copy. But we're going to be practicing this together. And I've mentioned this numerous times, but it was sort of an aha when I was talking with Amy Noteware, and she talked about a desire for collective action when we engage the world as the people of God. How do we practice Sabbath? I live in a strong Jewish community, my neighborhood, and there's all these people walking to and from their synagogue on Saturday. It is a collective action, a collective culture. We don't have that necessarily, but we're going to practice collectively. We're not going to walk to church together, but you can if you live close. But we are going to engage in practices together. And then each week, we're going to hear from one another in the open mic. What have you learned this week? Was it easy to slow down? Was it hard? What do you find yourself distracted by? What are you paying attention to? And so there's a weekly guide in here with questions that you can use. We're not going to necessarily look at those questions here during the sermon, but it's for you to engage. And then we want to hear from you starting next Sunday at the beginning of each sermon. So, but in this guide, again, there's reflection questions and even practices that you can explore. Now, you have my permission to do as little or as much of this as you want. If you're like, Jill, this summer slowdown guide feels like a distraction to me, right? And if that's true, then please, yeah, do what you need to do. So you have permission to engage as much or as little as you feel like you can. And then starting next week, we're going to have the open mic to hear from you. So I'm hoping that by doing this together, we can learn how to live more counterculturally together as the people of God, that we can realize that we're not just individuals in our own little worlds doing something, but we're doing it together. And together we can learn how to pay attention to our Lord better. And again, I think that song that Wes and the band led us in really ties into this well, because I think when we're distracted, we're fragmented, we're in pieces. And that song, "When I Thought I Lost Me, You Knew Where to Find Me. You picked up all my pieces and put me back together." I think that's what slowing down and paying attention and being in the presence of our Lord. He shows us and reminds us who he is and who we are. Amen. All right. So let's have our readers come on up. I think Diorje, if you want to come on up, he's going to read in Spanish, and Zaria, the newlywed's going to come up and read in Portuguese. She was being distracted. I don't know what to say about the distractions in church. No, so good. Okay, Diorje, if you want to go first.
Lucas 10:41-42. Respondiendo Jesús le dijo, Marta, Marta, afanada y turbada estás con muchas cosas. Pero solo una cosa es necesaria, y María ha escogido la buena parte, la cual no le será quitada.
Beautiful. Thank you, Diorje. Thank you. Sorry, yeah.
Lucas 10:41-42. Respondeu o Senhor, Marta, Marta, você está preocupado e inquieto com muitas coisas. Todavia apenas uma é necessária. Maria escolheu e boa parte, e esta não lhe será tirada. As palavras de Deus.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And I'm going to read it in English. And I have both an NIV, New International Version translation, and the Message paraphrase. I'm just going to read the New International Version that's in your handout. So Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Sounds like my home. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." These are the words of the Lord. So I'm going to give you a little background into this passage because I love me some background. So this village that Mary and Martha are in that Jesus comes to, it's Bethany. And Bethany is about less than two miles from Jerusalem. So Jesus walks to Bethany, and apparently he goes to their home quite a bit. Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus, who we hear a lot about in the Gospels, their home, their names and their home is mentioned three times in Scripture. So it was a place that Jesus would go to quite a bit. He was a frequent visitor. Jesus didn't have a home, but this home was a special place to him. Common interpretations of this passage, I've always looked at this passage as a sort of guilt-inducing reminder to spend time with Jesus. Do you guys feel that way at all? Like you feel a little guilty, like, oh, probably more like Martha. That homework is necessary. I mean, housework, homework, all of that is necessary. But it seemed like the message is you don't want to be like bitter old Martha, right? You don't want to be bitter old Martha. You want to be like Mary. Mary sitting for hours at the feet of Jesus. That was the better choice. But I think that interpretation misses the whole picture. I don't think that's a true interpretation here. It's almost like Martha, Martha bad, Mary good. And that's not the case. Because what's unusual here is that Martha, and Luke is known, the gospel writer of Luke here, is known for writing about outsiders. And he writes about women a lot, which was really unusual back in this day. And he writes about Martha, and it says that this is her home. So apparently she owns this home. And that Martha had the gift of hospitality because Jesus kept going back there. There was a hospitality. He felt at home there. And there are some of you in this room who have that gift of hospitality that is phenomenal, that you are able to make people feel welcomed and at home just by your gifts. Miss Donna Mayberry, right? No, like some of you just have that gift. And I think Martha has that gift. And in the passages where Martha is mentioned, her home is prominently mentioned too. Again, a place where Jesus, the Son of God, would feel at home. And then we see Mary in verse 39. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, that seems a little bit odd to us here in 2025, but sitting at the feet of a teacher was how people learned back in the day. Back in Mary's day, back in Jesus' day, you would sit at your rabbi's feet and listen and take it in. They wouldn't sit at a desk. They'd sit at the feet in the presence of their master. In Acts 22, verse 3, Paul, the Apostle Paul says, when he's giving his curriculum vitae, his resume, his credentials, he says that he was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a student of Gamaliel. So Mary was a student. Again, pretty radical. But what's missing in the English translation is what we see in the Greek. And in the Greek, we see the word also. A better reading would be, she, Martha, had a sister called Mary who also sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he said. So both women are students of Jesus. Both of them sit at the feet of Jesus and learn. Both of them are disciples. So the question is, so what's the problem? What's the big deal? Alex, can you show this picture? I found this today. I don't know who the artist is, but look at it for a moment and say out loud, what do you see in this depiction of this scene with Martha, Mary, and Jesus, and some people in the background. Say it out loud so I can. Yeah. Martha looks grumpy. Kind of wonder what's going on. Kind of know what's going on in her mind, right? What else do you see? Angry? Envy. Yeah. So good. What else? Stressed out? So good. Yeah. There's lots of people there. Yeah. Self-righteous. Focus. Where do you see the focus? Yeah, yeah. Ooh, so can you just say a little bit more? Huh. Yeah. Wes said he sees isolation, that Martha has isolated herself from the people in the room with that wall sort of serving as that barrier. Ben? Say more. Yeah. Yeah. Good job. Thanks, Ben. Yeah. Yeah. So good. So Ben said social responsibility, that it looks like there's an age difference between Martha and Mary. Is that what you're saying? Or between? Yes. You have guests. They need to be fed. Yes. And then, Karen, you said? Mary is the only one. Yeah. So there's a lot going on in this image that is why I loved it so much. There's a house full of people we see, right? People need to be fed. And there's Jesus, who seems oblivious to the people, and he's locked in with Mary. And then we see this jealous sister looking in on her sister. Martha has gifts of hospitality. She's praised for her hospitality. So it's not like she's Martha's bad, Mary's good, right? Hospitality was a huge value in the ancient Near East here. But what we see is that Martha's gifts interfered with her ability to be present to Jesus. It says she was distracted by all the preparations. She was distracted. This word for distraction means to be pulled or dragged away from, to be overburdened, to have one's attention directed from one thing to another. She was distracted. She was pulled away from. And again, I think this ties into the song that Wes let us in, this pieces thing, that we, when our attention is diverted, distracted from our Lord, I think we become fragmented. We become torn. Martha wanted to hear Jesus. She was a disciple of Jesus. She was a student of his, but the tyranny of the urgent prevented her. She was busy, and all of us would be like, well, yeah, Mary needs to get off her tush, and she needs to help serve, right? She was distracted with, the word is, in preparations, it's better translated with much serving. Have you ever been distracted with much serving? It's even harder when you come to church and you're serving, and that serving becomes a distraction between what God is wanting to reveal to you. Sometimes he reveals himself in the serving, but sometimes we mistake the serving for presence. And Jesus gently reminds Martha what is the better thing. The better thing is to put down the distraction. How would the people get fed? I don't know, right? But apparently, Jesus is the Son of God, so I think he might be able to help with that, right? Those are questions in my mind, like, wow, how would the people get fed if I don't serve them, right? But Jesus gently chides Martha and says, Mary has chosen the better thing. Came across this wonderful quote from a man, Christopher Benson. He's a writer. He says, love is the highest expression of attention. Christian discipleship is apprenticeship in attention. I like that. Christian discipleship is apprenticeship in attention, loving attention to God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving attention to our neighbor. Attention, paying attention. I've heard, and I've said it up here, that the opposite of addiction or the antidote to addiction is connection. Healthy connection, healthy ways of relating to healthy people. The opposite of addiction is connection. I wonder if distraction in and of itself can become an addiction. In fact, I know it can. I feel with my phone, I feel compelled to pick it up. Still do at stoplights, right? In the morning, at bedtime, when I'm not wanting to engage the children, right? I feel compelled. It is an addiction. And I wonder if the opposite of distraction is then attention. Learning how to pay attention. My kids, when I'm trying to multitask, and I don't do that very well, like I'll be writing, like writing an email at the kitchen table, and one of them will just stick their head in between my face and the laptop to get my attention. Or their new thing is to say, "Mom, I need cuddles," right when I'm in the middle of texting or emailing, "Mom, I need cuddles." It's their way of saying, "I need attention, Mom." Sometimes I think they need a little too much attention, but that's another sermon. But the opposite of distraction, I believe, is attention and paying attention to what's in front of you, the moment, the person, the view. When we started a Celebrate Recovery program here a number of years ago, and it's currently on pause, but we started it a number of years ago when I was on the team of leaders for a number of years. And one week, I showed up and I was aware, I was there to help lead and support others in their journey, in their recovery journey. And of course, I got exposed things to me. Our Lord exposed things that I needed to wrestle with. And one of them was my anger. And I had so much anger at my kids, at life. I felt overwhelmed. I felt busy. And I took it out on my children. I didn't hit them. I clapped my hands really hard. That's how I avoided hitting my children. But I just was angry and didn't know what to do. And over time, while I was at Celebrate Recovery, I began to develop new habits. I began new practices with the safety of this community that I had each week at Celebrate Recovery. And I learned that when I'm hurried, I don't cope well. So I learned some time management practices that I'm still working on today, and it's been a huge help to me. Time management, so I'm not hurried and rushed, because apparently young kids don't keep up with my busy schedule. They don't fit in to my timeline of things, nor should they, right? So I slowly developed practices on how to manage my time better, and I found that I was a lot less angry. But still, just because I've learned how to manage my time better doesn't mean that I'm not, that I'm present, that I'm paying attention to my kids, that I'm not distracted, because there's always another load of laundry to do. We only have two kids, and there's always another load of laundry. There's always another stack of dishes to clean. There's always another email to write. There's always something to do. And if I do rarely get it all done, when I'm done, what I want to do is just detach. Scroll through social media or the news and just detach. And oftentimes, I do. And these distractions of my phone or whatever else, these distractions prevent and maybe shield me from being present. Shield me, prevent me from being present and paying attention to who or what is in front of me. And I have found that it's not easy to be present, that it takes work to pay attention. I can't just check out. I have to consciously do it. Okay, Jill, be present in this moment. And I find that I'm so used to being distracted that I have to rebuild my muscles. It's almost like working out You know, like you have to build up your muscles when you work out to lift bigger weights and have stamina. I think it's the same thing with distractions. I think all of us, chief one here, we get so distracted that we forget we don't have muscles. Our muscles have atrophied for paying attention. And so this month, we're going to work together to develop our muscles and do some practices that help us identify and become aware in the moment of when we're distracted and to pay attention. The theologian and philosopher Peter Kreeft said this: if you can't take time to do nothing, you're a slave to doing. Doing nothing is a radical, revolutionary act. It frees you from the universal slavery of our age, slavery to the clock. The clock measures doing, but not being. Well, and you might argue with me, well, if you're not doing anything, that's laziness. That's sloth. Isn't that a sin? I'm like, oh, I think we have a ways to go with that, right? To stop from doing, to just being present to the moment is the invitation. Mary Oliver, she's the wonderful poet, she says, to pay attention, this is our endless and proper work. It's ongoing. And as I've experienced, and perhaps you've experienced, slowing down and paying attention doesn't happen automatically. The invitation today and this month is to, again, incorporate some practices that make us more aware, make us conscious of our busyness and our distractions. And so we're going to use this guide over the next few weeks to practice together. There's suggestions in here for what you can practice. You may like some of those suggestions. You may want to try something different that resonates with you more. And you have freedom to do that. And I am aware that some of you are already in this room, some of you are already practitioners of slowing down and paying attention. And we want to hear from you. How have you become a person who is able to pay attention, to resist distraction when it prevents you from being present to those in front of you? So we're going to practice this right now. We're going to practice slowing down and paying attention. Are you excited? Yes. There's fear in your eyes, but that's okay. So we're going to take some time to pray. And so we're going to have three different intervals of 2 minutes. Don't look at the clock. I'll manage the clock, okay? Three different intervals of 2 minutes. And this first interval, and we're going to have music playing, instrumental music playing in the background. And I just want you to take those 2 minutes. They're going to feel pretty long, but to be still, to be silent, to breathe deeply, and become aware of God's presence in this room. Then after 2 minutes, I'll give you the next prompt. So, 2 minutes, being silent, breathing deeply before God, becoming aware of his presence, starts now. All right, now that your breathing has slowed a little bit, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, ask God to reveal any patterns, any internal patterns, anything that's going on inside of you that keep you from truly slowing down and resting with him. We'll spend a couple more minutes in this space. Ask God to show you what's preventing me from spending time. In these final 2 minutes, ask the Lord to show you, to give you an idea of perhaps one thing that you can do to be a prompt to bring you back to his presence, to help not only help you be aware of what's distracting you and preventing you from resting, but as one thing that can help you recenter yourself in his presence in those moments of busyness. So we'll spend a couple more minutes and then I will close this. Well done. You did it. Well done. I'd like you to stand, and we're going to pray this prayer out loud together. We're going to put it on the screen as a way of dedicating ourselves to the Lord for this coming week. This prayer is in this guide that you have, so you can revisit it there. But do you have that prayer, Alex? Okay, awesome. Let's read it together, and then I have a couple of announcements before you head out. We confess, Father, that our minds and hearts can be filled with anxious thoughts and the worries of this world. And yet you are our deepest desire. Help us not to worry and to rest in the deep places where you long to dwell within us, that Sabbath may become an all of us thing, making us your home. Amen. Amen. I'm excited to go. I'm a little nervous, too, to go on this journey with you this month. So thank you for joining us. A couple things before you head out. It is Popsicle Palooza, so it's so hot in here. So go outside and get a refreshing ice cream. Feel free to hang out or just grab an ice cream and go. And then did I have another announcement? I thought I did. Oh, and grab a summer slowdown guide as you leave if you don't have one. It looks like this. All right. So as you go, remember that everyone whose path that you cross, they carry a heavy load. And if they have a cell phone, chances are that they do. They are distracted by a myriad of things and feel the weight of the world on their shoulders. So if you were to just scratch just below the surface, they feel torn apart. They feel distracted and pulled away, just like you and I do. So be good to yourself. Be kind. Practice kindness to those you meet. Grab that hand of your Heavenly Father who walks with you, who says, bring your cares and worries to me, and grab the hand of a friend, and in the love of Jesus, go and celebrate. Amen? Amen? Go in peace.